Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we have to be very mindful as to the thoughts that we allow to come into our heads. We have to be very mindful of that, because thoughts are a silent assassin, and you don't realize it. And they sometimes you don't even realize that they're there. Next thing you know, you're just saying something or doing something. And you need to know that your body doesn't just do something because it wants to. It does it because a thought came in and someone had to meditate on that thought and give it life. So how did it get life? We allowed it to drop down into our hearts and it grew. It became the abundance of our heart. And guess what? Our mouth started to speak it. See, there are a number of folks that, well, a few folks have come up after service and have said, you know, Pastor, some say Pastor Ed, but they said, you know, we get such good teaching. I said, you and Pastor Ed, you've been giving us some really good word lately. But the question, I have a question. I said, well, what is the question? I said, how do we do it? So he said, how do we do it? How do we take the word that we heard and put it into operation? You know, that's, you know, I didn't say that to silence everyone, but that's a great question. How many of you have that question or have ever had it? Beyond, I mean, it's, you hear it, you want to do it, and it's like, okay, what do I do? How do I make this thing work? And it's amazing, because that's not the way this lesson started out. But every direction I wanted to go, God kept bringing me back to that question. And I'm going to give you an answer. Go to Proverbs 4. So we're going to talk about the thoughts of the heart. This is a familiar passage, I imagine, to most. Proverbs 4, verse 23, but I'm going to share it out of the Amplified Bible. Are you there? Let's follow it. It says, keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all that you guard, means above all that you guard, guard your heart. For out of it flows the springs of life. Now, when the Bible talks about heart, it's not necessarily talking about that big muscle in your chest that pumps blood through your body. It does refer to it as the chief organ of physical life and the hidden springs of life and the center of your inward life, but it's also the sphere of divine influence. It's the real you. And it's also the seat of physical life. Your desires, your affections, your perceptions, your thoughts, your understanding, your reasoning, all of that comes out of your heart. All of it does. And it's, when you think about it, it's really our heart, not circumstances, that dictate how we act. It's our heart. Or more clearly stated, it's what we have allowed in our hearts that dictates how we act. It dictates what we say. It dictates how we're going to carry ourselves. And you would wonder, well, how could it be so contrary, since in Ezekiel God said that he's going to take out the old heart and give us a new one? Well, we allowed that new heart to become corrupted by thoughts. By thoughts. Proverbs 23, verse 7. I'm just going to read the first half of it. I'm just going to give you a moment to get there. It reads, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." See, it's not as he thinketh in his head. As he thinketh in his heart. For example, how many of you have had a thought that you knew wasn't right, you knew it wasn't godly, and you just couldn't do it? And you just put it down. Yep. Because it went into your head, but what was in your heart said, no, we're not doing that. But if you had kept thinking about it, if you kept meditating on it, it would have dropped from your head into your heart, and the next thing you know, you'd have been right in the middle of it. Why? Because your individual, your personal desires, you can actually allow to override godly wisdom. Why? Because you've convinced yourself that you have to do this and you have to do it now. And you don't care what anybody else says. You have your mind made up. What we take that song that Donnie McClurkin sang out of context. Yeah, I have my mind made up, and I won't. What? Then I won't look back. I won't turn back. Some of us need to turn back because we have our mind made up, but it's not on what God wants. And so some strange things start coming out of our hearts. And we're wondering, where did that come from? Proverbs 4:23, in some other translations, really show the connection, what I call it, the thought-heart connection. The Contemporary English Bible says, carefully guard your thoughts, because they are the source of true life. The Good News Bible says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And the Expanded Bible says, be careful what you think. Above all that you guard, protect your heart, because your thoughts run your life. Your life flows from it. Your thought, how many of you knew that your thoughts run your life? I mean, when you start thinking about that in that context, you start realizing how important your thoughts become. Because if your thoughts are wrong, what type of life are you going to live? How many times we said, I thought it was right, and we were wrong? And if we really are honest with ourselves, the Holy Ghost was telling us that it was wrong. But we had our mind made up, okay? So you know me. The next thing for me was, all right, what do you mean by this word thought? Because, yeah, I know what it means, but I wanted to see what it meant when it said thought. It means a consideration or reflection. Listen to this. Meditation. See, the Bible tells us meditate on the word day and night. It didn't tell us to meditate on our thoughts. All right. It's contemplation or recollection or all thoughts. That's according to the dictionary. The concordance says it's to split open, reason out, calculate. And I started thinking about that one. And I started realizing there's some things that God may say, if I'm not in agreement with it, I cut it open and reason it out and find a way to scoop out what I don't like so I can do what I want and create a mess and blame God. Because if he didn't want me to do it, he should have stopped me. All right? Okay? But the problem that we have with our thoughts is that often they are at odds with our faith. Because faith will say one thing, but your thought looking at the circumstance will say, that doesn't make any sense. And faith is saying, come on, you can do this thing. Remember, God told you to do it. And your thoughts are saying, I don't know anybody that's ever done that. So I'm not going to be the first one. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And when that happens, we compound it by thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And that we don't realize it, but when we start meditating on things, it like opens a portal. And now that thought oozes out of your head and starts getting down into your heart. The more you think on it, the more that comes into your heart. And then the next thing you know, it's the abundance of your heart. And your whole attitude changes. Luke 6 tells us that a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you find yourself saying things that you shouldn't be saying, you need to find out, what did you allow to get into your heart? When you find yourself, quote unquote, not being able to do what you're taught on Sundays and Wednesdays, you have to ask yourself, what am I thinking about? What if I let get into my heart? Because see, Deuteronomy 30 tells us that the word is very close to us. It says it's in our mouth so we can do it. I love the Amplified Bible because the word that you heard is not hard to do. So we shouldn't be struggling doing what God said. It should be the most natural thing in the world for us as believers to do what God said. Because it's our character. It's who we are. So why are we finding it so difficult? Because there are things we just don't want to do, and we think about it. We think about more about what we're not going to do than we do about what God said. Regardless of who he said, now he may not have said it to you directly. He may have said it to you through your pastors. He may have said it through the word. He may have said it any number of ways, but the important thing is he said it. And you have to make a choice. This is from God. Even though it goes against my plan, this is from God. And I'm going to just keep thinking about that and get to the place, we're going to read that in a moment, where I can do it. See, because when you get changed, when you don't want to do what God says, this anxiety starts to build up and stress starts to build up. And because you're in opposition to God, nothing seems to be going right, and you find yourself falling into depression. And I shouldn't have been, but I was amazed because Proverbs 12 talks about that. It says, anxiety is in the heart of a man causes depression. It says, but a good word makes it glad. So we have to start first receiving and then meditating on a good word, because that's the remedy. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. God showed me this a little different. This isn't the one he showed me something different in, but we'll get to it. 2 Corinthians 10, King James Version. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Stop right there. It doesn't say it exalts itself against something you don't know. It exalts, because why would it have to exalt itself if you don't know it? What this is telling us is there are things that we know that we allow thoughts to come in and try and override what we know. That's what that's saying. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. At first we cast it down, then we bring it in. That's what we have to do. The Message Bible says the world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade are for making, are for marketing or manipulation, are not for more, aren't, I can say this word. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. They are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. Every loose thought. What's a loose thought? A thought that's not from God. It's a rogue thought. And every one of them we have to grab hold of and put it into the structure that's been fashioned by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. But now listen to the Amplified Bible. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. See, the good news here is that our thoughts are not bigger than the Christ in us. And we have the God-ordained power and authority to lead those thoughts into captivity. To lead them. Say, you thought, you get over here. I mean, that's not my thought. Something happened last week and a thought came in and it was so pressing, it almost made me nauseous. To the point where I just pulled out the word, opened to Colossians, and started reading, put away anger and wrath and all these. I mean, I just kept reading it over and over and over and over, and I felt good. And after I felt good, I put it away and went on about my business. But I was not going to sit there and be tormented by a thought, especially when it wasn't even a true thought. It was a thought that was just designed to cause stuff. And I'm like, I'll not have it. No. But the thing about it, and we're going to get to that in a moment, God already has something in place that'll let you know that that thought is not right. But we're going to get to that in a minute, okay? One of the things I want us to understand is that we have been given the power to decide that we're not only going to think thoughts based on, that we're going to think thoughts based on what God said, and not what the devil said. And any thought that creeps in, we can literally tear it down. And we have to understand that. Because you'll hear something that, you'll hear a word, and all of a sudden you get stirred up. Say, I'm going to go out and do that. And then the thoughts come. You don't know enough word. First thought. What makes you think you can do that? The pastor didn't call on you and tell you specifically to go out. What do you mean that was a word for you? And you start thinking about it. I've never done anything like that before. I can't remember the last person I led to the Lord. Then we start repenting. Father, I repent for having a swelled head and think of myself more highly than I ought to. I mean, just like that. Just like that. Why? Because a thought came in and you entertained it, rather than putting it out and repeating to yourself the instructions that you heard. I'm part of this congregation. God sent me here. He gave me pastors after his own heart. And they said we're to go out into the communities and we're to walk the streets and pray. And I'm going to do it. But you've never done that. Doesn't matter if I've never done that before. I was never saved before either, but I got saved, didn't I? I mean, that's where you have to talk to your thoughts. That's what, there's one translation says you have to make you, you have to keep them, your thoughts captive until they obey Christ. Until they give up and they say, okay, I yield. I yield. I'll leave. But it's only going to happen if we choose to cast them down and bring them captive. Okay? Now, look at Hebrews. Hebrews 4. Because see, thoughts come, and they are. They're so slick and cunning. They are. They're so unassuming. They're even entertaining. You know, and they do those things because they want you to want to hear them. So they play on your emotions so that you'll give them time. And you don't realize that they're digging a foundation. They're burying themselves, what they said, burying themselves in like a Georgia tick. I've never seen a Georgia tick. I heard the phrase before. But I imagine this must not be something good. All right. And so the question is, well, how do I know? Some folks have told us, I didn't even know that thought was there. It just came out. Well, listen to this, and we'll see if that this changes your mind. Hebrews 4, Amplified Bible, verse 12. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. God's word exposes your thoughts. It exposes what's in your heart. It exposes the purpose behind the thoughts. It brings all that to light. Now you have to make a choice. The expanded Bible. Well, listen, you don't get mad at me for reading this. For God's word is alive and working, active, powerful, effective, and is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts all the way into us where the soul and the spirit are joined, to the center of our joints and bones, penetrates until it divides even soul and spirit's joints and marrows. And it judges, discerns the thoughts, ideas, feelings, attitudes, and intentions in our hearts. It judges them. It says to you, that's not a good thought. You want to get rid of that. You don't want to think about that. You need to stop meditating on it. You need to stop saying that. And you have to make a choice. And whatever you decide is what's going to happen. The Phillips says that it exposes the innermost intimacies of a man's being. It exposes the very thoughts and motives of a man's heart. See, God's word cuts through any and all deception. Period. And once he lets us know the true purpose, we have to make a choice. Are we going to act on what was just exposed, or are we going to continue down our current path? Because we want to. And listen, we have to free ourselves from the we have to free ourselves from the lie that, well, the Lord is leading me to do this. I'm not saying that he won't lead you, but some of the things you're trying to get us to believe that he's led you into, you must be high. Because first of all, our Father is not the author of confusion. And according to what some have said to us, see, we haven't said you're confused. Folks have come to us and said, I'm confused. And we're like, it's not God. That you have your answer. What do you mean? You're confused? God's not the author of confusion. You need to do something else. No, but I know God told me. But you said you're confused. If God told you, why don't you have peace? Because he said God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if there be no peace, there must be confusion. And if there's confusion, there's something wrong with your thinking. And there's some thoughts that you need to pull captive and make them obey Christ. And you have the power to do this. But listen to this. This is what I wanted to get to. 2 Corinthians 12. Because, see, it doesn't matter how much word you know or how mighty God has used you. Everybody at every level has to make the same choice. Because we are all subject, no matter what miracles God have worked through us, no matter how many people we've gotten born again, no matter what we've done for God, we're all subject to falling for the trap of our thoughts because of what we're going through. When we start, if you, you know, just try and recall some of the things that you said, well, I never want to go through that. And next thing you know, you find yourself in that. And that takes up all your thought life. That takes up all your prayer life. Why? Because you don't want that. And we forget everything else except that. Well, Paul said, now we're in 2 Corinthians, right? So that means he's already gone through the book of Acts. He's gone through Romans. Okay. He's already been stoned. He's already been delivered from prison. He's already survived the shipwreck. Already survived being bitten. All right, by a vibe. We're past those things, right? Okay. Paul writes, and to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me. I'm in the Amplified. To keep me from being excessively exalted. What? And, you know, I've read this, you know, many times, but today, this is the first time I saw that said to rack. And to buffet, I'm like, to rack? What does that mean? You know, was it a typo? You know what? And so I looked it up. When it says rack, it's referring to an instrument of torture. The rack was an apparatus that you were strapped to. Your legs, one leg here, one leg there. One arm there, one arm there. And then they slowly stretched you until your limbs pulled away from your torso. Didn't happen quickly. It was a slow form of torture. See, if they wanted to do it quickly, they'd tie them to horses and just giddy up and that's it. But Paul said what he was going through felt like he was in a rack. He said, a messenger of Satan to rack and to buffet, to knock around and to harass, to mock. I mean, so not only did Paul feel like he was slowly having his limbs pulled out, he felt like he was being punched around. He says, three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that he might depart from me. And God showed me something. He said, look at this. I'm going to read it just the way he gave it to me. Paul had some thoughts about his ailment. It was uncomfortable. He didn't like it. His thoughts were totally on what he was going through. He wasn't thinking about the work he was called to do. Not once did he recall anything that Jesus said, demonstrated, or taught. He wasn't thinking, Jesus said, I'm telling you these things so that in this world you might have peace. So in this world you will have tribulations and frustrations and distresses, stuff. One translation says, in the world you'll be plagued. He said, but be not concerned. I've overcome the world. Those thoughts were not on Paul's mind. The thoughts that were on his mind was, I can't take this anymore. God, you got to do something. You got to do something. He didn't remember that there was one true God. He didn't remember Jehovah Jireh or any of those things. All he remembered, this thing needs to stop. I know how that feels, because I'll admit that the times I was there. Paul wasn't singing praises about his Damascus Road conversion. He wasn't singing about how God delivered him from all of the stuff that he had to go through in the book of Acts. He wasn't talking about that. He wasn't thinking about that. He wanted to be free from that torment. But God said to me, my grace, my favor. See, just with that point, now Paul has to make an adjustment. Because what he wants to hear is, okay, I'll take it away. But instead he's hearing, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. Sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. Not bear it whining, but bearing it like it ain't happening. That's what it's talking about. It says bear it manfully. And he tells them why he can do that. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Now, remember, I read the scripture about anxiety causing depression, but a good word makes you glad. Paul just got a good word. He just got a good word, and he immediately took those other thoughts and brought them in captive to what he had just heard. He did that immediately. So how do you know? Because he said, therefore, I will more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased to take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I'm weak in human strength, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Then he sang the Pharaoh song, saying, I'm most happy. To be proud of my weaknesses. Because I feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I'm content with weaknesses. I'm content with insults. I'm content with hardships. I'm content with persecutions. I'm content with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, when those contrary thoughts that come to tell you you can't do it, instead of saying, woe is me, you need to say, whoa, but as in stop, you need to go, whoa, wait a minute. Father, that's not my thought. How dare you try and get into my head? And you start, you know what you do? You know what Psalm 19 says? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's what we say, Lord, not only the words of the meditation, but my thoughts, they're all going to be acceptable in your sight. I'm not thinking that thought. I refuse to think that thought. Though a host encamp against me and my heart shall fear, though war rise against me, even then in this will I be confident. You have not given me a spirit of fear, You've given me a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How often do you say it? Until the thought bows down and agrees to obey Christ. But if you do nothing, that thought's going to stay there. That's how you get the things God promised you. You think about them. You meditate on them. You confess them. You let them drop out of your head into your heart. Then you'll start acting like you already have it. It's one of the things that I have found personally. It seems that whenever, if I come out and something on my body is not acting right, I don't think about it. I concentrate on hearing what God wants me to say. I don't care what it's doing. I don't care how much something may be pounding. I make myself think about what it is I'm supposed to be doing for your benefit. And at the end, when I leave, I find out nothing is bothering me anymore. Why? Because God is the one that called me. He's the one that gave me the message. He's the one that has to put me in a position where I can deliver it. And he has to keep me while I'm doing it. Now, he's not obligated to do that if I'm not doing what he says. But because I purpose to only say what he tells me to say or do what he tells me to do and not pull any punches, he has to keep me. Now, I'm not flighty with it. I don't get puffed up because of it. I don't even think about it. All I think about is I have an assignment, and I'm going to fulfill my assignment. I don't come up thinking, oh, Lord, I wish my head would stop hurting. How am I supposed to give the word, and I can barely see the pages? I don't think about this. Sometimes I'll stand up here, and I'll look at my iPad, and it looks like everything's going like this. And I don't say it out loud. I'm like, I do get back and focus in Jesus' name, because I am giving this message. And if I can't see, I'll just open my mouth and God will give it to me. The page clears up. I mean, that's what happened. But it was a thought trying to get me to focus on what I'm experiencing instead of what I'm supposed to be sharing. See, that's what those thoughts are designed to do. But that's also why we need to open our mouths and confess what the Word has said concerning us. We have to always have a good word. A good word. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. And above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. I carefully guard my thoughts because they're the source of true life. Above all that I guard, I protect my heart because my thoughts run my life and my life flows from it. So I'm careful how I think. I understand my life is shaped by my thoughts, and I fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. That thought can say, let me go. I'm like, not, you don't yell uncle, yell Christ. And I'll let you go. but that's what we have to do. Because the thoughts are going to come. They're going to keep coming. I mean, it's just like rapid fire. It's going to come. But they're not bigger than the God that's in you. And all you have to do is just make a choice. That's all. I am choosing to believe what God has already said to me. Period. If God said it, that settles it. I believe it. And then finally, Philippians 4. Verse 8 and 9. I'm in the King James, so we can read it all together. Let me know when you get there. Or Deacon Valley said, when you get there, say, yeah. I hear pages. I'll wait. Because this is a finally. All right. Okay, are we there? Yep. Let's read it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You made it possible for us. You made it possible, Lord, for us to tear down strongholds and imaginations and to capture our thoughts and hold them captive until they agree to obey Christ. Thank you, Father, that we know we now understand that we don't have to be tormented by thoughts. We don't have to give place to thoughts. The thoughts are not bigger than you are in us. All we have to do is simply capture them and lead them to Christ, to you. And nowhere in your word does it say that they have the power or the ability to resist us. The problem has been, Lord, is that we have been offering no resistance to them. Well, all that stops tonight. Father, we are committing to you this evening that when your Holy Ghost judges a thought not to be of you, we're going to immediately cast it down. Immediately. We're not going to consider it. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to nurse it. We're going to get rid of it because we want to do the things you have called us to do. We will do our part to fulfill every single word spoken concerning this ministry. And we will not be moved or shaken ever again by contrary thoughts. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody that's agreed said, amen. Amen.